Jesus is worth sacrificing. Jesus is worth putting our flesh down. Jesus is worth going against what we feel and our emotions. Praise God. He paid a high price for us. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. I love being in church. I just love it. It's the highlight of my week. Nothing comes before church. Praise God. It's a blessing, and it's God's house. It's praise the Lord. It's where His presence is. The presence of the Lord, there's liberty. They that be planted in the house of the Lord, praise God, shall flourish. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just smitten with Jesus tonight.
Amen.
I was just on my way to church. I'm a crier. I get crying when I start thinking about Jesus and just getting emotional because He's real to me.
Yeah.
And He's done so much for me, and there's so many things I could point to say, my goodness, without You. Thank You, Lord. Father, help us tonight. Lord, this is the highlight of our week. This is where we receive our help from You. Father, we need utterance. We need boldness. We're not here to hear from the wisdom of a man or the opinions of man or philosophies or theories of man. We need to hear from heaven. And Father, the Apostle Paul said this. He was used by You on the earth to bring forth Your plan, Father. And he said this. He said a couple of things. He said, may I speak with boldness and utterance. Father, grant that unto me. That's what he prayed. I pray for the same thing, Father. Amen. Boldness and utterance from heaven. And he also said that he would desire to not speak as the oracles of man, or as the wisdom of man, but as the oracles of God, so that people's faith would not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. So, Father, speak through me tonight. Lord, I know that I'm the mailman and I do have a job and a part to play. But, Father, we want heaven tonight.
Amen. That's right. Yes.
And we're just in awe of You. We're in expectation of what one service can do for our lives.
Amen.
One service, one word, one encounter with You can change the whole course of our destiny. Can turn things around and change things. And Father, we have that kind of expectation tonight. Do what You want to do. Say what You want to say. We yield to You tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was preaching Wednesday night. Hopefully, if you don't come to those services, at least you check them out because they are a word for it. I'm still your pastor, even though I'm just pastoring in a different location at times. But we've been preaching on some things, and I mentioned something on Wednesday night. I was preaching about one aspect of faith. We were talking about not casting away the wrong things. And, you want to cast your cares, but you don't want to cast away your faith. And just because you cast your care doesn't mean you put faith on the shelf. But when I was preaching about that, I had made mention of a certain thing. And it was so awesome in the service how it happened. And if you're not ministering and you don't experience it, it'd just be time passing by, of him up there preaching. But for me, when I said something, all of a sudden the word of knowledge came into me. Now, the word of knowledge is one of the gifts of Spirit and found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And that's when God supernaturally chooses to reveal. It's as the Spirit wills. You can't turn this on and off. It's when God supernaturally reveals something about the past or the present that you otherwise wouldn't have known unless He revealed it. Well, all of a sudden I got the word of knowledge and I just knew something. It was kind of like at the end of service. Remember when we ministered to Julie and I called out that there was an ear problem? Well, the awesome thing about that was she was sitting in that service talking to God because God was dealing with her about how to go forward and believe in Him for the healing of her ear. And she said when it got called out, because she hadn't told a single person on earth, she was just overjoyed, with how good He is. That's the kind of stuff we want. Moves of God, right? Where no man, no woman can put that on. It's like we need heaven. But when we pastor by the Holy Ghost, that's what I mean by pastoring by the Holy Ghost, letting Him lead us and guide us in what we need to say. And when I was up there preaching, I got the word of knowledge, and the Lord said about what I was speaking about, which we're going to talk about tonight, is the people are missing it in this area. That's what I got. And then the cool thing was, even after the service, I had multiple people come up to me or text me or call me up until now and tell me that part of the service, it was like a correction, a spanking, spiritual spanking. And I knew that I was supposed to preach on that tonight and tomorrow to drive it into people. Because we've heard this many times, but when the Holy Ghost testifies that this is an area where people are missing it, it means we need to hear it more and more.
Yeah,
Because we don't want to miss it in any areas. Glory to God. He's got good things for us, but we have to be skillful with the Bible. What does being skillful mean? Doing what it says. Cooperating with His Word. You know, I mentioned this earlier in the offering, but I came from a place where Christians just, they're wonderful people and they're heaven bound and they love the Lord. There's no denying that. And they'll be in heaven. But they don't see moves of God in their life. They're stuck with whatever hand the world deals them. Well, I'm not stuck with what the world deals me. I have faith that moves mountains. Things that can be turned around. We see what faith can do in the Bible. People's lives upended, completely changed for the better because of the force of faith, praise God. So we don't want to miss it, especially when it comes to these areas of faith, because we know this. Ephesians 2 in verse 8 tells us that by grace are you saved. Yeah, it was God's grace, His goodness, His mercy, His power. You can't be saved without His grace, but you had a part to play in your salvation. For by grace are you saved, the Bible says, through something. The grace had to flow through something. What does it flow through? Faith, it says. For by grace are you saved, that's His part, but through faith. Our faith is what gives God the permission, or what it's what God flows His power through. You didn't get saved just because God had grace to save you. If that were the case, the whole world would be born again right now, but the whole world's not born again right now. Why? Because it takes the world doing something. What? Hearing the Word, believing the Word, and receiving the Word through faith. Then God's grace and mercy flows to them, and bam, in an instant, they're changed and translated from the power of darkness to the kingdom of light. Amen. But that's always available. Healing's always available. God is a healer. He's Jehovah Rapha. Healing is always available to everybody, but the grace and the power for healing flows through faith. God's a provider. He's Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. We see all throughout the Word, Old Testament to New Testament, God's supernaturally providing for people. But until they cooperated with faith, the power didn't flow. It's the truth. It's the truth. Remember what Jesus, and this is so key for people that come out of a religious background, remember what Jesus said in Mark chapter 6. He said, in His own hometown, the Bible says, Jesus could there do no mighty work except lay His hands on a few sick folk and heal them. Now, you think, what do you mean He could there do no mighty work? Did He not want to? No, He wanted to because He's always willing. God never changes. If God healed on Tuesday, God's a healer on Friday. Why? He's the same. He doesn't have bad days, up and downs, roller coasters. But the Bible says He could there do no mighty work. Except lay His hands on a few sick folk. And then notice what He said. He marveled at the unbelief of the people. Why couldn't He do any work? Because Jesus needed the power of God to flow. The power of God only flows on the wings of faith. Just like the whole world right now could be born again. All they have to do is cooperate and believe, and the power of God will come in and save their lives. It's the same with everything. Why we can't miss it in the area of faith. In old-time religion, in the world, and the devil wants to keep people sitting on their hands, not doing the right thing with faith, and then not receiving. Because those people in Mark chapter 6, it wasn't that God couldn't, it wasn't that God didn't want, or that God didn't have the ability, it wasn't that God didn't want to, it was that He absolutely was handcuffed from helping people. Yeah, that's right. Amen, it's true. It's the truth. You go study and read it. And so what did Jesus do to fix that? The Bible says from there, He went about the cities and villages. What? Teaching and preaching, teaching and preaching. Why? Faith comes by hearing. He said, oh, they're not in faith. They haven't heard enough yet. So He said, I'm going to fix the hearing problem, which will fix the faith problem. So when the Holy Ghost said people are missing it in this area, it was alarming to me because we've talked about this a lot in my testimonies and things that I say. But then I had people come up to me. Faithful people that are hungry for God, that are serving and being in every service. And it's just so easy to let this fall by the wayside, but we have to be skillful. Mark 5 and verse 25, talking about the woman with the issue of blood. Look what it says. A certain woman, which had an issue of blood for 12 years, suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, now remember, she's in a position for 12 years. She suffered with an incurable blood condition. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind, touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I'll be whole. And straightway or immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power, that's what that word in the King James means, virtue's power, had gone out of him, he turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you. And you're asking who touched you. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and behold that plague. Now, notice first of all what faith can do. 12 years turned around in one encounter. And notice what Jesus didn't say. Daughter, it's a good thing I'm in your town today. Daughter, it's a good thing I'm so powerful. Daughter, it's a good thing I'm so merciful. No. He said, because why? He's always powerful. He's always merciful. He's always able, willing, and ready. But somebody cooperated with him that day and got the power to flow out of him into her body. And he says, daughter, your faith made you whole. Imagine what your faith could do for you. If you could actually be in a place of faith to get God's power, imagine what it could turn around. Well, this wasn't the only case we have of this. Remember blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, sitting by the highway side begging, shouting, Son of David, have mercy on me, as Jesus went by and he kept walking. They told him, shut up, don't trouble the master. Blind Bartimaeus cried out all the more, didn't he? Jesus stopped and came over, asked, what do you want me to do for you? He said, that I may receive my sight. Well, he got a touch from Jesus, and what did Jesus say to him? Good thing I'm a healing master with the eyes, Bartimaeus. No, he said, your faith did this. Most of the encounters, you go and look at them, most of the encounters where people received from Jesus, he always said to them, according to your faith it was done. It's the truth. Your faith. Well, he's talking about her faith. Well, here's somebody that received from God. Here's somebody that is an example or an outline to us that we can look at what did this person do to get the power that's always available drawn out. If you bring somebody in here and they come in tonight from the year 1200, and lights blow their mind, but they see these things, lights are on, and they come in and they're able to read along their Bibles and follow along and see where they're going. But then you bring someone in that's from the same person that's in from the 1200s, and you bring them in the next night after it gets dark outside, and the lights aren't on. Well, they're going to think whatever was working the night before is no longer working. But we know that when the lights are shut off, the electricity's not gone. But to get the lights, the power from the lights, you have to be skillful in cooperating with what? Turning the switch on. And that person would sit in here and they'd think, it's just not working today. For some reason, those things were working the day before. But they're not working anymore. It just doesn't work, I guess. No, the power's here all along. They're just not skillful. Yeah. Amen. Most of the encounters, you go back and look, that Jesus ministered to people, chalked it up to, you did this. You cooperated and got the power to flow. Praise God. It's the truth. And if she's a template for us, you know, when it says your faith, you know, I was thinking, Abby's like, she makes these fake YouTube videos. She doesn't have a YouTube account. She doesn't post them on YouTube, but she'll get on there and she'll be like, hey, YouTube, what's up? Abby here in her little gymnastics outfit. And you know, she's 7 and you know, she'd be like, this is what I'm going to do. And today I heard her, she did a cartwheel. And she said, after I was like, just off the side, I heard her say, she's like, yeah, some people say I'm a pro at this, but I'm not sure. I'll let you decide, you know. And she's just making these videos and things. But she's into gymnastics. You know, the sport of gymnastics, there's judges. And there's certain people that have floor routines and bar routines and the uneven bars and rings, whatever the event is. And there's certain routines where, wow, they got tens. or almost perfect score. And so they're taped. So it's something, what? That if you're aspiring to get scores like that, you can watch what they did, how they did it, and find out what did the judges like. She did something that Jesus liked, or that God's power liked, and it flowed to her. Praise God. Now, here's what you have to understand. Remember the disciples said, because Jesus said, who touched me? Well, he didn't mean who's putting their hands on me.
Yeah.
He's saying, who finally approached me with a faith touch?
Yeah.
Because the disciples said, you see, everybody's touching you. So naturally, everybody's touching him, but Jesus wasn't paying attention to everybody touching him. He only noticed one. But here's the thing about all the multitudes. Why are they thronging Jesus? Because they all need something. I would guess that a lot of the multitudes that are thronging him in that day, that service, in that encounter, needed healing in their bodies. But Jesus only noticed a difference when one of them touched him. And remember what he said at the end of her, your faith did this. So apparently, everybody else's touch was not a faith touch. Maybe it was a desperation touch. Maybe it was an obligation touch. I don't know what kind of touch it was, but it wasn't a faith touch. Power flowed out of him. He didn't do anything different. It was based on her touch. He's walking along. Who touched me? Everybody's touching. No. Somebody touched me differently. Notice what he wasn't doing, going around the crowd thinking, okay, I'm going to bless this person. Okay, I think I want to bless this person today. No, he's just walking along saying, the blessing train's here. The blessing's here if you want it. Everybody's touching me. Nobody's getting anything. Why? Not coming with faith. God doesn't move off of obligation. God doesn't move off of terrible circumstances. God doesn't move off of pressure. God doesn't move because you cry to him and get goosebumps. No. Faith moves God. Faith moves God. And the quicker people realize that, they'll pull up their bootstraps and get into faith ASAP. Because that's how God moves. Multitudes. It should be our example. How many Christians are reaching and thronging after him and getting nothing? He doesn't move because you're desperate. He doesn't move because you need something. He doesn't move because it's been years that you've suffered the same problem. No, that's not how God operates. He's always ready, but he needs a faith touch. Needs a faith touch. Hallelujah. I guess it wasn't just about showing up that day. A lot of people showed up that day, didn't get anything. It wasn't even just about touching Jesus. It was about approaching the right way. It wasn't about wanting. It wasn't about hoping. It wasn't about daydreaming. It was about coming skillfully.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, your faith did this. Yeah. The power flowed out of him. Multitudes needed the power, but one got it. Wow. Well, there must have been something about her faith that was different. You know, a lot of people go through the motions with God. Oh, we think that if we just sound desperate enough, we'll tug on his heartstrings and manipulate him into moving in our life. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to be not compassionate. Actually, me telling you the truth is the most compassionate thing I can do. Because I hear these stupid prayers that people pray. What's a stupid prayer? One that hits the ceiling and falls back to the floor. What's a stupid prayer? A prayer of doubt and unbelief. That people have been brainwashed to pray, and God's not moving or doing anything in their life, and they're praying these prayers that aren't scriptural, that aren't faith prayers. And they're wondering, why isn't God moving? What's going on? And it angers me because I want to see people helped. And people have been hoodwinked. Well, a lot of Christians, what? Just go through the motions. If I'm a good person, God will do something. No, that's not how it works. If I go to church faithfully, nope, that's not how it works either. In fact, to get into receive the greatest gift ever is salvation, has zero to do with church attendance. It has zero to do with how good or bad you've been. He says, for the greatest thing ever, I want to throw out your religious mindset that if you just go to church enough, I'll move in your life. No, I'll save you just for believing in me. Just call my name. It's the truth. Now, I'm not discounting church and being doing the right thing, because after you're born again, there's a life to live and an enemy that would like to, you to walk in the wrong thing. But I love it, right? Even off salvation, he says, nah, you and your mindset. Because so many people think, well, if I'm just good enough, if I'm just kind enough, if I just give enough money, if I'm this and that, if I go to church enough, my healing will come. No. People sit in church their whole life, faithful people, love the Lord, don't get their healing, don't get their prosperity changed around, things don't change in their life. But then I've seen people for years not receive, and then I've seen people have been with me for less than 6 months, and they grab a hold of this faith message, and their world starts turning.
Amen.
Changes in their money, changes in their body, changes in their mind, changes in their personal like thought process, depression, changes in their children, and it's available to everybody. Available to everybody. It's amazing. Before Jesus went to Mark chapter 6, where he said he couldn't do any work there, in Mark chapter 5, we just read, there was a major, mighty work of God. And then after he ministered to this woman, he went and raised a little girl from the dead. Why? Because her mommy and daddy were in faith. And he told him, he warned him, make sure you stay in faith. And then in Mark chapter 4, remember what Jesus did? He cast the devil out of a man. So in Mark 4, he had major works. Mark 5, he had major works. But in Mark 6, the faucet gets shut off. Did God just decide to say, no, I think I'll stop now? No, he's the same. He marveled at their unbelief. Well, then there must have been something about her faith that was different than everybody else that needed and wanted something that day. We ought to find out what it is.
Amen.
Well, go to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. You want to see Pastor Bite get fired up? Let me preach faith. Oh, man. Let me preach faith. I've seen it work. I've seen the power of faith take incurables and make them possible. When bank accounts and checkbooks said no way and the world said no way, I've seen faith say, oh, there's a way. There's a way, praise God. Hallelujah. Jake, I'm going to use you as an example again. This could be for a lot of people, but Jake came from a very severe situation, you know. Jake's been with me for 7 years now, and I'll just say it this way. I can tell you more people that I've had this conversation with that didn't do anything with it and are still in their same position or worse than I can tell you that people that actually did something with this conversation and are in a better place. Jake, when Jake came to me at the hotel when we were at the Holiday Inn, which used to be the Hampton, you were addicted to substances, sick in body, medications out the yin-yang, right? Whatever the yin-yang is. Yin, yang, yazoo, I use all these words, I don't even know what they are, I better look them up probably, right? Tons of medications, depressed, sick often, incurable things, just wrong, messed up life. He was messed up, and I had a heart for him because I used to be that messed up person. And I had someone tell me the right way, and I sat down with Jake, took him to Applebee's, and I said to him, I said, this is going to sound weird, but just stay with me here. It's going to sound kind of cultish at first, but let me get through with this. I said, Jake, I said, your life in a year can be unrecognizable. And it'll happen, things will happen before that, but in a year you will look back and recognize your life. I said, if everything that comes out of my mouth, do it. I said, well, that sounds like a cult, Pastor Mike. I said, but everything that comes out of my mouth is going to be the Bible. I said, and you back it up and you check it. I said, everything, I'll tell you what to do with your money. I'll tell you how to get rid of the addictions. I'll tell you how to do this. I'll tell you, I said, everything I do, do it. And you know what? He's just dumb enough to do the word.
Right.
Dumb enough to do the word.
Right.
And his whole world changed.
Yeah.
How many medications are you on now? How many addictions do you have now? How many incurable diseases do you have now? None.
Amen.
In fact, his wife's home with two children that the doctors said she'd never have a baby. God said something different, didn't he?
Yeah.
Praise God. You're blessed financially, blessed in your kids, blessed in your family, blessed in your body, blessed in your mind. Why? Cooperating with this. But how many people have I told the same exact thing to? I was thinking of one on the way here tonight saying, oh, man, I hope that person's there. Oh, had that conversation with them how many times? Nope, they're still going to be struggling, keep hearing it through the grapevine. And won't do it. Well, why? Is that God up there saying, nah, this person I want to struggle, this person I want to bless? No, God's saying, it's available to everybody. Cooperate with me. Well, what does she do different? 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith. Well, what this woman had wasn't a going through the motions. It was a spirit of faith. You know who else had a spirit of faith? You know what a spirit of faith is? Faith is just believing. A spirit of faith is you just are sold out that God's going to do it, that it's not bigger than him. You know who else had that attitude? Caleb and Joshua. They sent 12 spies. Remember 10 of them? Came back and reported, it's a nice land, flows with milk and honey, it's great. Man, the grapes are so big, we had to carry them with 2x2. I mean, it was just heavy. That's how big the grapes were. He studied it out. Man, of course it was good. It was a land God gave them. God doesn't give anything bad. And they said, but, you know, there's a test there. There's walls, there's cities, there's people. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. There's giants in the land. What they didn't have, spirit of faith. Needed a touch from God. Needed power from God to get by. 40 years later, what happened? The power of God showed up. Because let me tell you something. Walking around a city and blowing the trumpets and shouting doesn't cause walls to fall down. We can blow trumpets and shout at these walls until next week until we're blue in the face and the walls are going to be up when we get here. Well, when they finally walked into the promised land, what happened? The power of God showed up. Trumpets don't knock walls down. Voices don't knock walls down. But the power of God knocked the walls down in Jericho and the walls came down. But why did the walls come down? Because finally, they got the doubt and unbelievers out of that generation. And 40 years later, Joshua and Caleb are still around ready to lead them in. And they go in with faith and what? The power of God's there. They needed the power of God 40 years earlier, but they didn't have faith. Remember the Bible said, but Caleb and Joshua, they have a different spirit about them, the Bible says. Well, what was the different spirit? They believed. They had faith. But here's the thing about the spirit of faith. It's tangible to see with the eyes. Look at what it tells you what it is. We having then the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed. That's the first thing, you believe. But it doesn't stop there. And therefore I have spoken. Now what am I going to talk to you in the short time we have left here? Where are people missing it? In the saying, 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 in the consistent faithfulness of the saying, people are missing. And when you take away the saying, you take away the spirit of faith. Because the spirit of faith, that word spirit there in the Greek means vital, like a vital sign. Bodies have vital signs that give us proof that there's life. Your faith has a vital sign. It's called believing and speaking. When there's no speaking, there's no faith. Well, can we look back at that woman and see this into play? We sure can. We know she had belief because she got out of bed that day. When she, in the culture she was in with having a blood condition, would have to go out and shout, unclean, unclean, and not touch people, because if you touch them, then they got to go cleanse and go into some ceremonial ritual of washing and cleansing. She's an outcast in society. She's weak after 12 years, has no more money left. And she had the nerve to get out of her house and to go through multitudes. Remember the Bible says she came through the press. She's touching everybody. Yeah. Well, that's what sign that she believes. But the spirit of faith is not just in belief only. Go back to Mark chapter 5 and verse 28. Mark chapter 5 and verse 28. If the Holy Ghost is saying to us, this is where people are missing it, then we got to pick up this part and step on the gas. Because again, we get so, even in this church, we teach faith all the time. We get so in the day-to-day and life comes and bogs us down that we put aside. And we just get into our mindset that if it hasn't happened, he must not want it to happen. And he's up there saying, I need you. I need you to cooperate with me. Mark 5, verse 28. Actually, go to verse 27. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind. What's she doing? Demonstrate, I believe. But remember, faith is not only. Spirit of faith is not only. And you say, well, did Caleb and Joshua have the spirit of faith? Well, number one, they believed. But number two, what did Caleb and Joshua say? We can do it. Right. If you go back and look, they were saying, we're well able to overcome. What were they doing? Spirit of faith. Bible said they had a different spirit about them. Amen. Well, verse 28 says, For she said, because the spirit of faith is we believed and speak. Believe and speak. For she said, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. This is why people ask me all the time, why do you like the King James Version? I know the these and the thous. Because newer translations, you have to be careful, in a lot of places take liberty with some of these words. Some of the newer translations says, for she thought in her head. You look up the Greek word there for said, and look at what it talks about. It has nothing to do with thinking. Everything to do with vocalization. For she said, Kim, will we pull up the Amplified? The Amplified amplifies the Greek and the Hebrew, and it helps us to see it more. For she didn't just say it once. She kept saying, if I just touch his garments, I'll be restored to health. A lot of people are doing a lot of the same things she's doing, going through the press, reaching for him, trying to touch him. They are touching him. The disciple said, everybody's touching you. Power only goes out of one. Why? She had a different spirit than everyone else. Because she was truly operating in faith, because this is the part you can't let go and slide and miss this. You are not in faith if you're not saying. The spirit of faith is believing and speaking. I don't care how much in your heart and in your head, if you're not saying it. And they say, why is that, Pastor Mike? Well, that's what, we'll look at that here. Go with me to Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. How many times have you heard Pastor Mike preach on saying? But then I mentioned it on Wednesday night, and what's the Holy Ghost say? People are missing it, and then I get confirmation immediately after the service. I don't think she'd mind me saying this. If she does, she'll yell at me, and I won't do it anymore. But Julie was being dealt with in the service about her ear when I was talking about the saying. I didn't know any of this was going on. She never told me she was having problems with her ear or anything. And the Holy Ghost, when I was talking about the saying part, she was like, yeah, I'm believing for my healing in my ear. She says, but Lord, I repent. I've not been speaking it. And that's what we talked about. And then after the service, when the Holy Ghost ministered, and then I said to her, now you know what to do, Julie. You've heard me say it from the pulpit. Just keep thanking him. Thank him for your healing. Thank him for your, Father, I thank you healing in my ear. Why? You're saying it. And then she told me the testimony later about everything that happened, how she didn't tell anybody, and it was a boost for her. Praise God. But if Hebrews 10:23 says this, let us hold fast. What's that mean? Hold on to this. Not let it go. Not let it slip. Not let it slide. Let us hold fast the profession, which is also the word, means the same thing, professing something. The confession, if you looked up in the Greek, the confession of our faith. Now, why would the Bible tell you to hold on to that confession if you didn't need to confess anything? Because what happens is, people get like a ball of fire, they'll hear me preach on healing, hear me preach on finances, and they'll walk out, and day one, man, they'll be fired up. I thank you, my money's changing, money's coming, my body, my kids, this and that, and they get fired up. But then something happens. Circumstances and pressure and symptoms get worse, and numbers get worse, and situations get worse, and the sound of things get worse, and it comes to what? Jar you, and jar that confession out of you. Either to get you to say nothing or to start getting you to speak the wrong way. And he said, hold on to that tightly without wavering. What's that mean? Something's going to hit you to get you to waver, to try and knock that. Wouldn't it be nice if a running back would just get the ball and be able to run clean into the end zone? No. There's people trying to knock that ball out of that running back's hands. Why? Because if I can get the ball out of their hands, I can get the score in my favor. And you know what the devil's saying? Ooh, if I can throw them worse symptoms. I know they're excited after Pastor Mike preaches, but what happens a week later when their symptoms are worse? What are they saying?
Yeah. All right. Come on.
Let me ask you, you just ask yourself this in your own place. We're not trying to pick on anyone or embarrass anybody. Who here is believing for something, but you have completely not held fast to that confession? I mean, it's been weeks since you said anything, but you're believing for it. It's been knocked loose. Why? Time knocked it loose. Discouragement knocked it loose. Going the wrong direction knocked it loose. And that's why he said, no matter what, how rocking and rolling it gets, hold on. Amen. Hold on to that thing.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Now, go with me to Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. This will bring out this whole saying thing even more. Mark 11, 23. Change your life. Completely change your life. This completely changed my life. Amen. Hallelujah. When Brother Hagin died in 2003, I went to his viewing, and the line was massive, but they had the Bible opened up in front of his casket to Mark 11, 23 and 24, the Bible that he used. Why? Because he built his whole ministry on it, changed the world with the revelation of these two verses. It's how he got off his deathbed. Mark 11, 23 and 24. Praise God. You know where the word rhema comes from? It comes from when the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, rhema is the Bible school I went to in Oklahoma. You know, but that sounds, what's that word mean? Well, it has a Greek meaning. In Ephesians chapter 6, when he says, and take the sword of the Spirit. Remember, he talks about all the armor of God. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That word in the Greek, in Ephesians chapter 6, is the Greek word rhema. That Greek word rhema is translated the spoken word of God. He said in the Bible, the sword of the Spirit, it's not just the Bible. The Bible, think about this now, this will really ring a bell to you. Ring your bell. Somebody needs your bell rung. This Bible sits on Walmart shelves like this. People walk by them that are unsaved in the power of darkness and hell bound. And the whole time, in this book, there's the power of God to save them. Right? But the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, spirit of faith, two things, believe and speak, then you'll be saved. The Bible doesn't do squat for anybody till you get it in your heart and put it in your mouth. Amen. Salvation is the greatest example of it. The world needs this and they walk by it. The books, the words aren't saving them, but the words become power when they get in someone's mouth. Man, oh man. Mark 11, 23. This whole saying thing, it's not just some, thing you do to go through the motions. There's power behind it. Mark 11, 23. Look at what Jesus said. Now, think about this. Jesus didn't just say this for the heck of it. Well, I'm bored. What could I say? You know what Abby does? I guess we're talking about Abby tonight. Abby just needs to talk all the time. And Abby, at times, has nothing to say, but she just needs to talk. So she'll just all of a sudden, to buy her some time, she'll say, so, and she'll hold so, but then if nothing else comes, then it's blank and it's kind of awkward. I'm like, you did it again, Abs. You have nothing to say. You just, and a lot of times she'll say, so, and then she'll just throw some random thing in there. That's not what Jesus was doing here. I just need to say something. Jesus is not Abby. We're thankful that Jesus is not Abby. Just like we're all thankful that Jesus isn't you and Jesus isn't me. But he said, for verily I say unto you. Now, when he says for verily, he says, of a truth, I'm telling you something. He's saying, what I'm about to tell you is true. That's why he said, for verily. If you study that out, he's saying, of a truth, what I'm about to tell you is as true as it gets. Whosoever, that means y'all are included, not just the pastors. Whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. There's the belief part of it. What are we talking about? Mark 11, 23. The spirit of faith. Believing and speaking. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says will come to pass. He will have. Now listen to this now. I need healing. I need money. I need my kids. I need this. I need that. Okay. You will have whatsoever things you need. Nope. You will have whatsoever things you think. Nope. You will have whatsoever things you want. Nope. You will have whatsoever you are saying. How'd you get saved? You said it. Hallelujah. Praise God. You better renew your mind to this. Because if you're not actively saying, don't expect to be actively receiving. Again, Jesus didn't just say this for the heck of it, to fill space and time because it was awkward silence. No, he was telling us of a truth. Praise God. Now, he showed us this in Mark 11, verse 12. Go to Mark 11, verse 12. Why did Jesus tell him this principle? Because of what happened the day before. Mark 11, verse 12 says, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet." Now look at verse 14. "And Jesus answered and said." Everybody say, "answered and said." But notice it says said. Again, remember Jesus, he's skillful. Jesus is here doing God's will on the earth. Jesus is here proclaiming and showing people how God does things. Right? He wasn't here on his own accord. He says, "I say and do as he says and does." That's it. He says, "No man eat fruit from you hereafter." And his disciples heard it. What did Jesus do? He put a curse on the fig tree. Now, I have to real quick just take a little side journey, because remember last week we thought that Pastor Ray stole my microphone clip? And I had to wear that in my pocket. And so remember, I cursed him in the service, you know, tongue in cheek. But he returned it. And so we lifted the curse. The curse is off the obers now. Whatever that curse would have produced, microphone problems or something, he had taken it home with him, and he wasn't intentionally stealing that. So it's good to know that Pastor Ray is not a kleptomaniac and that they are no longer cursed. But Jesus cursed the fig tree, didn't he? He says, "You're done producing fruit." But notice this, the disciples heard him say it. What's that mean? He didn't think it. He didn't wonder. He didn't daydream it. He didn't ponder it in his heart. He said it, and the people with him heard him say it. Well, they went through and did their thing through the city, but then it says this, verse 19, "When evening was come, he went out of the city." Hallelujah. "When evening was come, they went out of the city, and in the morning," so it's the next day, "as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter said, 'Master, look, the fig tree which you cursed that we heard you say yesterday, it's withered away.'" And I love Jesus' response. "And Jesus answered and said unto them," and walked around popping his collar. "Yeah, that's right. I am Jesus. Woo! Look what I did to the fig tree. I am Jesus. Ooh, wouldn't it be nice to be Jesus?" So he said. He said, answered and said, "Have faith in God." Actually, the original rendering of this verse, "have faith in God," is pliable. But in the center section of my Bible, it tells me exactly what the Greek meant. It says, "have the faith of God." Yeah. Well, what is the faith of God? Well, how did God fling universes and oceans and made the sun and the moon? How did he do it? Did he think it? No. And God said. Yeah. How'd God make Abraham, a 100-year-old man? What did he do? He said, "Your name's no longer Abram. Your name now is Abraham. I'm making you the father of many nations." He said it. We know by faith the worlds were framed by the word of God. How did all this come into existence? Whoop! Flung it into existence with his faith. Have the faith of God. How does God do things? When he wants change, he speaks. What did Jesus do when he wanted change of the fig tree? Didn't think a curse. Didn't round up it. What did he do? He spoke to it. And now the disciples are saying, "Whoa, look." But Jesus breaks it down for us and says, "Have faith like God does. For verily, I'm saying unto you now." Now he's saying, don't put the highlights on me. I'm telling you now for you, disciples, it works for you. And then all your next thought should be, "Well, dang it, I'm not a disciple." But then Jesus included you. He said, "I say unto you that whosoever from then until eternity this will work for." He says, "You're surprised that it worked for me, but you need to have the faith of God. And I'm telling you, if you'll do it, if you'll speak, change will happen." Yeah, hallelujah. Jesus showed us this. And how many people hear me say this and let that confession part of it sit by the sidelines in Christ has said to us, you got to say it. Yeah. I love the revelation that Brother Hagin had. In Mark 11, 23, Brother Hagin said, you're going to have to do three times the saying as you are believing. Yeah. Saying's mentioned three times. Believing is mentioned one time. Because why? What did I just got a revelation. The Bible doesn't say hold fast to the believing of your faith. It's not the belief that's going to try to get knocked out of you. Because when things go bad for people, you know what happens? They get quiet. Yeah. Or they say the wrong things. He told you to, with the spirit of faith, he said, you better make sure you're holding on to one thing, because there's one thing that the devil's going to come try to knock out of you. It's your saying. Yeah. Hold fast to the confession of it. Praise God. James chapter 3, and we'll close with this. James chapter 3. I'll tell you, it's a wake-up call for us. It's a wake-up call. You want faith to operate? Well, you need God. You need God on faith, but faith's not operating without speaking. Why? That's how faith is released into the atmosphere, through our words. That's why he said the sword of the Spirit's not the Bible. You tell me what this book can do for you, just print it on a page, nothing. What are you going to use it and joust with the devil with it? No, it's stupid. It does nothing, has no power in it until it gets in you and comes out of you. Then it has all the power. But it just sits like any book on a Walmart shelf, and people that walk by that need healing, need prosperity, need all this stuff, they're walking by their answer, because it's not the pages and the print. It's the word in your heart and in your mouth that changes the world. Praise God. James chapter 3 says, go to verse 2. For many things we offend all, that means to stumble. If any man offends not in his word or the way he speaks, the same as a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. I want to go down to something here. I'm going to read down through this real quick. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Notice what he says. A huge thing can be turned by a small thing. Right? Not to keep picking on Julie, but remember the time I told the story where she got ran into the fence and thrown in the water trough because she hopped on the horse that took off and she didn't put the bit in the horse's mouth. And she told me if I would have had a bit in the mouth, I'd have been able to stop that. Well, what does that bit do? This small bit controls this massive, ginormous, powerful animal. You want the horse to go right? The bit can make it go right. You want the horse to stop, slow down, go left, whatever you do with horses, it works. Turning things. Anybody need some things turned in their lives? Need your finances turned around, your healing turned around, your children turned around, your situation, your circumstances turned around? Hope you're paying attention. He says, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, ships are humongous. He says, but they're turned or guided or directed by a very small helm. What's he saying? The helm compared to the ship is tiny. The bit compared to the horse is tiny. He says, and wherever the governor lists it, wherever the governor or the captain wants to go, just turn the helm. I want the whole ship to go right, turn the helm. I want the whole ship to go left, turn that small helm can turn the whole thing. But look what verse 5 says. Even so the tongue. What's he saying? The tongue is just like the bit, and the tongue is just like the helm. The tongue is a little member, boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now think about this. So he's saying the tongue is like a bit and like a helm. What does the bit and the helm do? Control, guide, direct, turn things, change things, completely reverse course and go a different way because of the bit and the helm, right? He says, the tongue is like that. Well, what does Proverbs 18 and verse 21 say? Death and life, death and life, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Jesus said in Matthew 12, 37, by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Yeah. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your tongue has the power to turn, change things for better or for worse. Now think about the tongue and guiding. If the governor does nothing, or the captain does nothing with the helm, the ship just goes whichever way life takes it. Right? If If you don't do the right thing and you go, you're headed for a land or headed for another object, and you don't turn it the right way, or you're going this way and the object's that way, and you turn it the wrong way, what's going to happen? If you don't do the right thing with the helm, it will lead to bad things. But you can do the right thing with the helm, and it can guide you and take you where you need to go. It's the same exact thing for the tongue and words. People that don't say anything, you're just floating along in neutral in life. Whatever comes your way, that's what you're stuck with. But then there's even worse, that people that open their mouths. See, if I'm going this way, and there's an iceberg over there, or another ship over there, or something you don't want to hit over there, and I turn and steer it that way, even though I don't want to go that way, even though I don't need to go that way, even though I shouldn't go that way, I'm going to go that way. And your tongue is like the helm. And so when you open your mouth and say, this never works for me. It's always going to be like this. It's never going to change. I'm always sick. This always happens to me. You're steering right towards the iceberg. You don't want to go that way, but your tongue is the helm. Your tongue is taking you where you say. See, Jesus said you'll have what you say. He didn't say it only worked in the positive. He said you'll have what you say. What are you saying, ladies and gentlemen? Because what you're saying is the helm. If I'm saying with the helm, I want the helm to go right, I am saying I want to go the direction of right. If I have the helm in the dead center in the middle, I'm saying I'm headed to the middle. If I want to go left, I turn it to the left, and I'm saying by what I'm, where I'm going, where I'm heading. The direction of the helm tells me where I'm going to end up. What are you saying over your life, over your body, over your children, over your finances? What are you saying? Because what you're saying is where you're headed, regardless if you're headed in the wrong direction or the right direction. Jesus said you'll have what you say. Why do I tell you that? In the 2 years when I started the church and the Lord, I didn't get a salary for 2 years, and the Lord had me quit my full-time job, stay home with my son, and Courtney kept working, and it put us $2,000 short every month, every single day. Every time I'd feed Caleb, I'd release my faith. Every time I'd feed that little baby boy, I'd feed him, I'd say, Father, I thank you. All my needs are met, fully funded, fully supplied. Father, I thank you. Increase comes to me. All my bills are paid on time, all the time, every single time. Didn't look that way, didn't feel that way, and the account said it wasn't that way. But what was I doing? Changing, turning things with my words. Cooperating with him, giving him something to work with. It's not my words that change things, it's his power that flows through faith words that change things. Amen. Because they can't just be any words, because Mark 11:23 says you can't doubt in your heart. You can't just speak empty words. And a lot of people just go through the motions. Well, I'm saying it, but in your heart you don't believe it. Better deal with that unbelief first. Faith comes by hearing. Get more hearing in you, get more faith in you, and start speaking faith words. Every day, Father, thank you. All my bills are paid on time, all the time, every single time. I thank you for supernatural debt payoff. In 2 years, with no salary, being $2,000 short, never telling the church anything, never telling my family anything, never missed a payment, never missed a bill, and after 2 years, remember what Pastor Mike was confessing? Supernatural debt payoff. Paid over $60,000 worth of debt off in 2 years. Being $2,000 short every month from just paying our bills, over and above God did for us. Well, it just came out of a sickness in my body for 2 years that the doctor said was incurable. It was hell on earth. And every day, you know what I'd say? Father, Jeremiah 30, verse 17 says, you're healing, you're restoring health unto me and healing me of my wounds. I thank you, Father, that the power of God's working in my body. And I will not have this for the rest of my life. And it will change and it will turn around. And I believed it so much, I'd walk my dog and I'd preach the testimony when I was sicker than could be and hurting and pain and tired and exhausted as could be. And if you haven't heard that testimony, I preached it on the 10-year anniversary in the first weekend in South Dayton on Sunday morning. Preached that testimony. But what I do, just kept saying it. Why? Keep the switch of faith on. 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 He didn't say, I'll have what I need. I have what I hope. I have what I think. I have what I daydream. He said, I'll have what I say. So guess what? I'm saying some things every day. Amen. Every day. Every day I'm speaking over my children. Every day I'm speaking over my money. Every day I'm speaking over my body. Speaking over these churches. Speaking over your lives. Why? He said, I'll have what I say. I'm going to cooperate with him. Amen. What are you saying? Yeah. Don't say the wrong thing and don't say nothing. Yeah. Come on. Amen. Either Jesus was telling the truth or he wasn't. This is a wake-up call. Amen. Because the Spirit of God said to me on Wednesday night, this is where people are missing it. Yeah. And I know it to be true. God doesn't lie. Father, thank you for helping us tonight. We're so grateful. We need these wake-up calls at times. We need these reminders. Father, you're just trying to get us back into doing things the right way. There's so much, Father, that you've offered us in your word that will cause us to escape. You know, the devil's in control of planet Earth. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 that he's the god of this world. That's why it's a mess. That's why it's a mess. But, Father, we know that just because the world says it's a way, you know, the world told the children of Israel in Numbers chapter 13 it was going to be a way, but you called it an evil report because not because it wasn't true, not because they weren't seeing it or hearing it or experiencing it or feeling it. But they chose to believe what the world said, the natural said, over what your word said, which was they could have that land. Well, Father, there's things that the natural's telling us right now about our kids, about our bodies, about money, about things that we've experienced for years that we are being told that our minds will never change. People being told you'll always be single, you'll always be lonely, you'll never this, you're never gonna have a house, people being told us, and the devil will point to see how long it's been, but your word says different things. And to make the word come to pass in our life, it's through one force only, the force of faith. So we cooperate. We make adjustments. We repent where need be. We make adjustments and we'll do things the right way. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please nobody looking around. I'm pretty confident everybody, you know, that I know in here, there's some people I don't know, but and people watching online, you know, the majority of people may be born again in here, but everybody might not be born again in here. And watching on live stream might not be born again. And we want to give people an opportunity to receive Jesus. Now, if you didn't listen to anything I said all night, I want you to listen up right now. This is the most important thing that I could ever say to you. God loves you so much that he gave you a place called heaven. In heaven, there's perfection. There's no sickness, no runny noses, no coughs, no disease, no pain, no crying, no suffering. It's perfection. And God said, I want to give you heaven. And he said heaven is a free gift, and he gave us the way to get there. And I'm so thankful God made it so simple. If you're watching or if you're in here tonight and you don't know how to get to heaven, I'm here to tell you, Jesus is the ticket. Just like if you were to go to Disney World, you have to have a Disney World ticket to get in. Well, the ticket to get into heaven is through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the only way, John 14. I'm the only way. So I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads and to close their eyes. Please, nobody looking around. Go ahead and close your eyes and just listen up here. If you want to go to heaven someday and you can say, I do believe that Jesus is real. I believe that Jesus, that this person that pastor's talking about Jesus, I believe in Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't embarrass you. I won't have you come forward. I won't have you stand up or say anything on your own. But if you can say, Pastor Mike, I believe Jesus is real, and I want to go to heaven, and I want to receive him. Nobody's looking around. Would you lift your hand high in the air if you want to receive Jesus tonight? Anybody at all that's never received Jesus and you want to receive Jesus, go ahead and just lift your hand up. I'll have you put it right back down. Anybody at all, before we close, want to receive Jesus? Again, what does receiving Jesus mean? You get to go to heaven. You get to be in perfection with him. Anybody want to receive Jesus? Just lift your hand in the air. Anybody? I see that hand. You can put it down. So proud of you. And if there's anybody that's watching right now that you've, I can't see your hand. It's not the hand raising that gets you saved. It's the believing in Jesus. So, we had a hand raised in the building here tonight. So proud of you for doing that. With heads bowed and eyes closed, there's only one thing left to do now, and that's to ask Jesus to come into your life. Now, we won't have you ask them on your own or try to make you think of what you're supposed to say, but we're all going to pray a prayer together, and I'm going to ask that you pray this with us and just mean it with all your heart. With heads bowed and eyes closed, that person that raised their hand and anybody else that should have or is watching online, along with everybody in the church, repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you are real. I believe you died on the cross. And I believe you rose again. And I ask you to come into my life as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. You can look up here. I'm so glad God made it easy. Oh, he made it so simple. But for that person that prayed that prayer, man, that's exciting for you. God loves you so much. And hallelujah, we're just so thankful for that. But at this time, we're going to go ahead and dismiss in a second. I just have one thing on our heart. Can we just agree in prayer to with me as I lead a prayer? If you agree with me, to pray for our president and for the first lady, and just believe for, you know, regardless of your political affiliation or Democrat, Republican, what you think about the president, you know, the Bible says to pray for those that are in authority. And of course, he's dealing with the coronavirus. So, Father, we're just so thankful. We just lift up our president and his wife to you. And Father, we thank you for them and their lives, Father. We pray that you'd help them, encourage them, Father, give them wisdom. Father, we can't even imagine all the assaults and all the attacks that would come being in that office. But Father, they're facing something physical in their body right now, but we know you're greater. We know you're more powerful. And so, Father, we just release our faith for the complete healing of President Trump and his wife Melania, Father. From the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, we say the coronavirus has to go. It's no match to the name of Jesus. We thank you for health and healing from head to toe. We thank you for no lasting symptoms, no life-altering things from this. We thank you that it goes, and it goes fast with minimal pain and suffering and problems. We just declare it's done and over with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I love you and appreciate you. Don't forget, drop your offering in as you go out the door, and we'll see you next week. You're dismissed.